certainly appreciative of this good crowd this morning. It's good to be back home. Just real quick, had a wonderful meeting in Norwalk, Ohio with the saints there. Much good was accomplished and God was glorified. I truly believe that. I want us to remember Brother Claude. He had kidney surgery this past week, and just suffice it to say, things are not going very well with Claude at this time, so he needs our prayers, fervent prayers. So let's talk about a bloody religion this morning. It's going to differ from what's in your bulletin. This sermon on Calvinism, Lord willing, will be postponed to next Sunday, God willing. A bloody religion. Would you think Christianity would be a bloody religion? Perhaps something we don't think about very often, but Christianity as a whole has been accused of being a bloody religion. And to that charge, mind you, it would have to plead guilty. The word blood is found 463 times in Scripture. An average of 7 references for every book of the Bible. 463 times. The center, if you will, the center of the entire Christian system is based on the cross of Jesus Christ. And crucifixion, as we all know, was a bloody death, a horrible death. And beyond that simple fact, God picked this means of death for Jesus precisely because it involved the shedding of his blood. If we know the history of the Bible, you'll know that blood runs all the way through it. All the way through it. And as one examines the place of blood in the Old Testament, I want to suggest to you this morning that 3 important facts stand out about this blood. Point number 1. Going back to the Old Testament, and we'll flow this into the New eventually. But point number 1 is that much blood was shed in the Old Testament. Much blood. If you count simply the official public sacrifices prescribed by Moses' law, the number of creatures whose blood was shed comes to 1,273 sacrifices a year. About 2 million blood sacrifices from the time of Moses to the time of Christ. I say again, much blood was shed under the Old Testament. These include the following. There were daily sacrifices. In your Bibles, in Exodus chapter 29, if you want to turn there, Exodus 29, verses 38 and 39, we'll find there that there was 2 lambs were killed, 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening, on a daily basis of the first year. Moses writes, "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar, 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight." Now let's stop just for a moment. Would you like being a Jew some 3,500 years ago? Under this type of system of law, How would you enjoy offering a lamb every morning for the first year, one in the morning, one in the evening, every day? Well, the Bible lets us know that's what they did. And we would probably say, well, I wouldn't like that at all. No, that's just not what I would enjoy doing. However, if we want to run a parallel, under the law of Christ, do you know the sacrifices that we are to be offering on a daily basis, not just the first year, but on a daily basis? In your Bibles, in Romans chapter 12, at verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that sacrifice must be a holy sacrifice, just as it was under the Old Testament. And it must be an acceptable sacrifice, just like it was under the Old Testament. We're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what you're doing here this morning. We have decided to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice rather than laying back home in the bed and watching TV and drinking coffee and eating donuts. Wow, what a sacrifice we gave that up for this. Obviously, I say that sarcastically. But we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice daily. Well, not only daily, let's look at the Sabbath law. Let's go to Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 28. And look with me there at verse number 9. What happened on the Sabbath? Every Sabbath. Look what happened. Leviticus chapter 28. Well, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. Moses writes, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year without blemish, and two tenths of ephah, or a bushel of fine flour, as a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath besides the regular burnt offerings with its drink offering. I say to you again, how would you like to be living some 3,500 years ago? And you had to do that every Saturday. You had to offer two extra lambs. Did I say that much blood was shed under the Old Testament? Yeah. We're seeing it. So we see it daily. We see it on every Sabbath. How about monthly? Let's go to Numbers chapter 28. You still there? Let's just read the next verse. Verse number 11. This was monthly. Two bulls, one ram, and seven male lambs. At the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. What a ritualistic system to worship God. Much blood was shed. Additionally to that, private sacrifices were required at times, including burnt offerings. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 25, Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 24. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. We were talking about holiness this morning in our class study, you remember. All these things were done, and they had to be done in a holy attitude. Not to grow complacent, not to just go through the motions, nor are we today to go through the motions. Our reverence, our worship to God, obviously must be holy. There were five major feasts under the old system. And these five major feasts had additional sacrifices. For example, at Passover, each family offered up a lamb. From the historical writer Josephus, Flavius Josephus, he quotes this. He records that during a Passover, during the time of Christ, some 256,500 lambs were slaughtered. Did I say that much blood was shed under the Old Testament? Even if this number is inflated, and some scholars say that's an inflated number, there surely wasn't that many lambs that were sacrificed. But let's just take that for a moment and see what happens. All right. Even if the number is inflated, as some suspect, if we discount it by 10 or 20%, that leaves an astonishing flock of 205,500 lambs that were slaughtered. Yeah. I said earlier on this point that much blood was shed. I think that's the last time I want to say that. I think we've got the point. That much blood was shed under the Old Testament. But let's remember this, brothers and sisters. The difference in the blood of the two covenants is significant. The old covenant system and the new covenant system. Okay? We have the blood under the new covenant of the Son of God, rather than the blood of bulls and goats and animals to make atonement for our sins. Are we glad about that? Aren't we glad that we don't have to go through all that ritualistic blood offering like the Jews did? Aren't we glad that we live, as the Hebrew writer says, under a better covenant? Whereas we have one sacrifice for all time, and that blood came from the Lamb of God. Wonder why John said that when he saw Jesus coming to the multitude. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Why did John use this illustration of a lamb? You know, you get that, right? That's why. What we've just looked at. Okay? Hey, we do not offer daily, weekly, and monthly sacrifices. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed once and for all. In your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7 at verse 27. The Spirit said that Jesus needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, the high priest, and then for the people's sins. For this Jesus did once when he offered up himself. In other words, Jesus doesn't have to be crucified day in, day out. Jesus doesn't have to be crucified every first day of the week. He doesn't have to be crucified monthly or yearly. In your Bibles, in Hebrews chapter 9 this time, if you will. Hebrews chapter 9, I want to read there at verse 23 beginning. Hebrews 9 at verse 23, the Hebrew writer is saying here, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. That is the blood of bulls and goats in the previous verses. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true holy place, but into heaven itself, the holy place, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often. Do you see that, church? As the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. Verse 26. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he, Jesus, has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this a judgment. Do you see the analogy that the writer is going with here? Look at verse 28. So Christ also was offered once. Once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So while the quality of blood in the Old Testament vividly made the point, and I hope you've seen that this morning, the point that God wanted is that life is in the blood. Atonement is through blood. And in the New Testament, listen, it is not the quantity of the blood that was shed. It is the quality of the blood was shed. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. How that it surpasses by far the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves and every other sacrifice as far as that goes. We're talking about the royal, ruby, precious blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus is the epitome of quality blood. Hebrews chapter 9, if you're still there, which I'm not. Hebrews chapter 9, where we were just at. Paul goes ahead and he says there at verse number 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Do you see why Jesus had to go to the cross? Do you see why he had to shed his blood on the cross? His blood had to be shed for the remission of our sins. The blood of bulls and goats could not do that, could it? So we're talking here about the quality of the blood of Jesus. Now that was point number one, that yes, much blood was shed under the Old Testament. But point number two, that blood was given a prominent role. Let's just expound, if you will, on that. While Judaism was one of the bloodiest religions known to man, it would be inaccurate to think that blood was a commonplace thing under that system. It wasn't a commonplace, even though they did it daily, even though they did it every Sabbath, even though they did it monthly, the Old Testament religion treated blood with great respect. And perhaps, though, it was how blood was used here in the Old Testament that most graphically defines Judaism. As well, by extension, if you will, Christianity as a bloody religion. Think about this. Sacrificial animals were always bled to death. Bled to death. That blood was then caught in bowls as the blood was milked out of the sacrifice and then taken to the temple. Taken to the temple for temple rituals. It was then poured on the altar. It was then sprinkled on the book of the law. And even sometimes, I want you to turn to Exodus 24. 6 through 8, and sometimes Exodus chapter 24, 6 through 8, and sometimes that blood was sprinkled on the worshipers. So I ask again, do you want to go back 3,500 years and be a worshiper? Watch this. Exodus chapter 24, verse 6. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Verse 8. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. Yeah. That's what they did. Blood is given a prominent role now in the New Testament as well. In John 19 at verse 34, John records that when the Roman soldier pierced the side of our Savior Jesus after he was already dead, forthwith came out blood and water. Picture him hanging on the cross, already given up the ghost, and then the spear goes up through his side. And as the Roman soldier pulls it out, out gushes blood and water. We sing sometimes about a song, "There's a fountain free for you and me." I believe that to be that fountain. That forthwith came blood and water because it represents our salvation. That blood was the most precious liquid ever found on planet Earth. Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And then there is the blood from the greatest lamb of all that Peter's referring to, the Lamb of God. Let's follow that blood trail for just the remaining part of our service here. In Luke 22, at verse 44, Luke 22, verse 44, we find Jesus in the garden. He knows what's coming. He knows the betrayal of Judas is coming. He knows his crucifixion. He knows his mock trial. He knows all that's about to unfold. So here he is, prostrated on the ground and being in agony. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Do you see the intensity? Do you see the trauma? Do you see the agony that Jesus is going through, knowing what's going to happen in just a few short hours? He breaks out in a sweat. His capillaries burst. Don't think that's impossible. Oh, that doesn't happen. You just do a Google search and see about bursting capillaries. Yeah, it does. It can happen. And a lot of time due to being under intense stress. If you know you were getting ready to die, if you knew what was awaiting you, that you were going to be scourged, whipped within inches of your life, if you knew that someone would place a crown of thorns on your scalp, if you knew that you would be crucified, if you knew you would be spit upon, if you would be buffeted, that word buffeted, maybe you need to look at that a little bit deeper. One version says this, that he was buffeted and then slapped with an open palm. When you look up buffeted, that means to be hit multiple times. I said much blood was shed under the Old Testament. I want you to look at our Savior. I want you to look at the blood from his scalp pouring down into his eyes, the scourging that he already received. His back is just ripped open, just ribbons of flesh hanging from his back against that piece, that tree. And when he would inhale, rubbing against that. And then as he exhaled, going back down against it. How many times, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say. But that's just part of the torture, wasn't it? Again, the pounding, the buffeting. Have you ever been in a fight? And maybe came out on the short end. I mean, this fella just whooped you up good. You were bleeding. I've had my nose busted more than once, mind you. My lip busted. Blood came out, didn't it? It came out. Well, what do you think about Jesus? This blood is pouring out from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I say again, much blood was shed. Not only in the Old Testament, but more so from our Savior. Every drop, every wound, forthwith came blood. When the spike went through his hand, can't you see it? Can't you see it just gushing? And then eventually, after all the gushing, it begins to just start to drip. And it drains. So, there's following the blood trail of Jesus. I want to ask Brother Bill now at this time to lead us in the first song. And notice how these songs, again, just the first verse and the chorus to get the impact of the song. But listen as we sing about the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sorry, Bill. Let's just go ahead with these songs, if you will, because we're following the blood trail as we have in the scriptures, and I want us to follow along with the songs. Notice every song mentions the blood of our Savior. Next song, 679. Bill.
Second verse of 679.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Power in the blood of the Lamb. precious blood of the Lamb.
924, please. 924. Last point is this: the blood shed was shed as a type. A type is a category of people or category of things, if you will, that has similar or common characteristics with whatever. See, God's religion had required blood from the Garden of Eden forward. This was not without purpose, because such sacrifices showed the exceeding sinfulness of sin. In Romans chapter 7 at verse 13, we'll get there. The Bible says, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not," Paul says. "But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." That's how sinful sin is. It cost the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It took the blood of Jesus to pay for our redemption. Someone once noted, and I want to read this quote: "If the guilt of sin is so great that nothing can satisfy it but the blood of Jesus, and the filth of sin is so great that nothing can get out the stain thereof but the blood of Jesus, how great, how heinous, how sinful must the evil of sin be?" Yeah, a lot of truth to that. Let me say in closing that Jesus' sacrifice is pictured in every Jewish animal offering, and in many of Judaism's best known rituals. Consider the Passover. Consider the scapegoat. Let me read about the scapegoat in Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Again, Moses writes here at verse number 8 beginning. Hold on just a second. I want to make sure. At verse 8, "Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering." Verse 10. "But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness." Verse 11. "And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil." Well, someone had to pay the price. The scapegoat. We've heard that term used in the past. So we've got the Passover lamb, which we see Jesus. We see the scapegoat, in which we see Jesus. Listen here, here's the blood of bulls and goats. While incapable of permanently removing sins, nevertheless typified the daily cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, which we have in 1 John chapter 1 at verses 6, 7, and 8. That if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. If we sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, watch this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing blood of the Lamb of God. If you're here this morning and you've never taken advantage of the blood of Jesus, which was shed for you, you need to do that. You need to be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins. If you have done that, and if sin is in your life presently, as we speak, you need to call upon God. You need to ask Him to forgive you. You need to confess your sin and plead the blood of Jesus because it's flowing as we speak. Won't you take advantage of that as we stand and sing the song Brother Bill's chosen?